Hey everybody, what's good? This is the Blacker Than Usual podcast, a series of politically based conversations that unpack the underlying gaps within Black culture, business, and relationships. Your host, J-Dub, that's me, strives to address the crucial conversations that will strengthen the connection towards moving our culture forward. Listeners should expect an informed conversation from personal experience and thought-driven insight on the top issues affecting our Black and Brown communities. So with that, sit back and enjoy. Well. Looks like you came back, didn't ya? I left you hanging, huh? I got you going on the branches of government, didn't I? Well, I hope I did. And if you listen to this one second, go back and listen to the first one. Because we back one more again. Maybe one more again if I fit it in the time frame I'm going to. Listen, y'all. I'm trying to get this to 20 minutes to 25. Now, I could talk about this all day, all night. I love politics. It's my pleasure. Government, ordinance, protection of our peoples. It's impertinent now. It's impertinent that we know these things. So I could go on and on. Folks don't understand how I go so long when it comes to these politics and how we need to govern ourselves within these structures, y'all. But for the sake of time, we're going to have to fight the system really, real, and real brief. I'm real straight to it. So if you hear something I say too fast or you overlook something, just hit rewind on there. If you got it on the iPhone, it could let you go back 15 seconds and you can do that, or you can just start the whole thing over. Give me another extra spin. I would greatly appreciate it. The church would appreciate your contribution to this information. But our families, our cities, and our communities will appreciate it more. So with that being said, we're going to try to run this down one more again. To knock off these branches of federal government. We already touched the executive branch in the first part. We wrapped on around to a little bit of the legislative power, the Congress, the House of Representatives and the Senate, and things of that nature and their abilities. But we got one more we got to tap into to make out the trifecta of the branches of government. The judicial branch. They evaluate the law. So we already said the president carries out the law. We already said the laws are made through the halls of Congress and how that process goes. But you do, listen, I'm going to mess this up about 10 times, but I don't like to go back and edit because when it comes on my brain, that's what's on there. The judicial branch evaluates the laws. So after they done got put down, they folks, these powerful individuals, they sit back and be like, I don't know if I like that. I don't know if this still applies. I don't know if this law is continuing on things that have happened in the past. I'm not sure if there's precedent for this happening in 1942 versus 1975 versus 2023. Also known as the Supreme Court, y'all. They evaluate these laws and other courts too, just to make sure they're fair, balanced, and just. J-U, the key word. They want to make sure stuff is just. The judicial branch. Here's where they come in. So let's dive in. They have a review process of determining the laws are if they're constitutional or unconstitutional. Y'all know what the Constitution is. We're going to have another segment coming up about the Constitution and the amazing Bill of Rights and all the amendments. Because the Constitution was great, huh? You know, we, our Black and Brown communities weren't considered in the Constitution. That's a whole nother debate. That's a whole nother discussion. But so many things that needed to be adjusted in the Constitution that 27 amendments were created just to say, I think we need to add or take out something. But that's here nor there. We'll come to that later. The judicial review is the purpose here, to verify and determine if the laws that have come down from the other branches are constitutional or unconstitutional. Is it right or is it just wrong? And we got to strike it down. That's what happens there. The primary consideration of the judicial nominees, the Supreme Courts, are shared ideology with the president, original jurisdiction, meaning how it was back in the day, if it showed precedence or not. Original jurisdiction of a court is the power to hear a case from the first time, as opposed to the appellate jurisdiction when a court has the power to review a lower court's decision. let's get that all in place. You sue the state of Tennessee, which we're doing on a host of different things, from abortion rights to gerrymandering to just being mean and racist and bigoted towards the people of Tennessee. You sue that. Okay. It goes above the General Assembly because they're the one who did it. And it goes up to the appellate court, the appeals court. It goes in the state jurisdiction. And they look at it, they see it, I'm like, this ain't right, this don't sound good. And they wrote, and they take a vote on it. Well, that vote's not heard and accepted by the people, by the masses, and it needs to go above them, you can refile it to the Supreme Court. We're going to get on how that process go in the Supreme Court a little later. But the original jurisdiction, all that has to be reviewed at that point. The Supreme Court hops on and be like, uh-oh, we got a problem here. We have to now determine if this is constitutional or unconstitutional. The appellate jurisdiction of the courts, they hear cases brought to them on an appeal from the lower courts. They do not review the factual record, only the legal issues involved. So the regular courts don't like it. Whatever come out, the appeal court's like, I don't know, this don't sound good. We need to take up to a higher clause, a supremacy clause, a clause of Article 6 of the Constitution that states that all laws passed by the national government, all treaties, are the supreme laws of the land and superior to all the lands adopted by any state in any subdivision or appellate court. So this goes up to the supremacy clause, it goes up to the Supreme Court. They saying this is going to be the law of the land regardless of what y'all doing in that state. Recently, they just overturned some gerrymandering down in, I believe it was Louisiana and in Alabama. Because how they wrote up these maps, they cutting out congressional districts. It's happening in Florida too. It's happening all over the South, not just Tennessee. Supreme Court wrote those down, so they had to redraw the maps. Unfortunately, they've redrawn a lot of these maps with the same type of effery involved. But the supremacy clause, just detail what happens there. If it's not constitutional, it ain't rocking. That's what the 9 justices of the Supreme Court is supposed to do. You know, we'll see how they vary, how they vote. That comes out once a year, maybe once, twice. We'll get into Supreme Court later. I don't want to just burn you down what that is. But the U.S. Constitution was written in the year 1787. Everything that's constitutional or unconstitutional by the Supreme Court and the judicial branch of evaluating these laws started in 1787. Said everything off this Constitution has to be just and fair and equal. And if it's not, we're going to rule in it. We're going to dissent from it, or we're going to agree on it. We're going to see. The Constitution provides the rights to govern and to be governed by this country, by the land, by the laws, and who puts them in place. There's also an amendment process. Article 5 of the United States Constitution describes a process by which the Constitution may be altered. The Constitution is a piece of paper, y'all. And it's not a long one. It has a lot of detail in it of some ideas and profound words and language that was put together by the forefathers. But it's not, you know, it wasn't ironclad. 27 amendments had to come up and be altered to this Constitution, so much so that it just left out a whole bunch of key things. The process of an amendment may be proposed by the United States Congress or by a national convention assembled at the request of at least two-thirds of the legislative... two-thirds of the legislators of several states. Not just a few, but a lot. I propose amending the Tennessee Charter, almost like the Nashville Charter, almost similar to the Constitution of Nashville. The state has one as well, and the federal government has one as well. Two-thirds of the legislatures of several states, in this case, several counties, or in the city, several districts would have to vote up on it. Now, I'm not sure if it's two-thirds all the way down to the local level, but seeing that we're talking federal, two-thirds of legislators of several states have to come up and say, we want to amend something. Well, that happened, y'all. It happened 27 times. We'll get into that on down the road. The Declaration of Independence. Y'all know what that is. Do I have to go into detail with it? I got some notes on it, but I'll just run down it. It sought to unify the varying interests of the colonies. War times, split, Union, Confederate, the Declaration of Independence. It attempted to forge a national identity, several political ties to Great Britain. We don't want your tea. We don't want your taxation without representation. This is our independence declaration. That rhymes. Oh, that's a bar. I didn't put that on a song. Schoolhouse Rock. Schoolhouse Hip Hop. That'd be lit. That's what it was. So, Declaration of Independence, Constitution, 27 amendments to it. These things are all part of evaluating the laws. Now they've just written down and put into law. Judicial power. Let's get into a few acts here. Acts, well, you talking about Shakespeare dub? Nope, not those. Just different acts, different time periods, different things that came about that led up to the Bill of Rights. The Constitution and Declaration of Independence was all great, but there's a lot of things that had to be changed within that, had to be altered. Some of those looked out for us black and brown people, and some of them didn't. Some of them looked out for our well-being and how to vote, how to get rights, how to get women rights, how to bear arms and things of that nature, and some of them didn't. Let's dive into those. One off top that speaks to my soul and spirit was the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Forbids discrimination on the basis of sex, race, color, religion, and national origin in all areas of the employment relationship. Meaning, how we go out here and make this money, you can't hate on us for not having a job or kick us out and all that just because of our religious beliefs or where we came from. That act had to be implemented. Constitution didn't really say too much on that. There was the Voting Rights Act of 1965, forced officials to allow blacks to vote, prevented literacy tests and poll tax. Now, we could go down the whole thing of black history, but I think you know what literacy tests and poll tax are. If not, Google it or send me a message. I'll be glad to break down those traumas to the black community. But the Voting Rights Act of 1965, I believe our honorable John Lewis was a part of that. And I'm going to take a little personal privilege here to say some of that has been redacted. Some of those laws in that Voting Rights Act have been screwed around, and that's why we're being screwed around at our vote in the polling locations while we're getting so many gerrymandered cities and states and local governments, because some of that hasn't been reinstated. Joe, time to do that, my brother. Make the Voting Rights Act of 1965 whole again. Here nor there. These were all sparked from the civil rights, the rights of full citizenship and equality under the law. The Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights, these were all up under there. The civil liberties that came with those. The legal and constitutional protections from the government under these rules and regulations, they all came crucial. They all stem from the Bill of Rights, these 27 amendments, but it wasn't until... was it decades later? Years later. Decades later, too. 1964, 1975, things got crucial for our black and brown communities to have these rights. Let's go into some more. There's also the U.S. Patriot Act. Skip over some years. A U.S. federal act that broadens the surveillance of law. No need for a warrant, probable cause, or exclusionary rule. Patriot Act somewhere around 9/11, y'all. When they said we're going to go ahead and not just spy Edward Snowden, but we're going to have surveillance over certain things. We don't know what's going on. A little invasion of privacy, yes. But the Patriot Act said we're going to be patriots to this country and find out what's going on in these homes. Who's doing what? Who's flying what? Who's here on green card? Who's not? Who's high? Who's not? All that. There's also the Social Security Act of 1935, a law that set up a pension system for retirees, established unemployment insurance, and created insurance for victims of work-related accidents. You get hurt on the job, you get something for that. It also provided aid for poverty-stricken mothers and children, the blind and the disabled. Prior to 1935, we didn't have that. So wait a minute, Doug, we just talked about the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. We have things that are forging a national identity. The origins were here. Everything should have been set. But why wasn't it decades later, 1964, 65, 35, until all these acts and things came around? Well, why is this? Why did this happen? Well, because it wasn't ironclad. Because it just wasn't to for real and inclusive of all the people, just a few privileged at that. But times have changed. Man to the Supreme Court again, and a few women to the Supreme Court. Not a lot. Shout out Ruth Bader Ginsburg in 1993, Sonia Sotomayor in 2009, or Elena Kagan in 2010. Just three. Not a lot, but I would say that adding to those women solidified some things while they were there. It also brought awareness that there were some other things that were missing out up until 93. These acts from civil rights and just civil liberties. Social Security Act was huge. Work-related accidents. You can get hurt and killed on the job and nothing come for you. These acts weren't added in the Constitution. The American with Disability Act. All public reasonable accommodations to those with disabilities. They didn't even care in the original Constitution. You can go down the history path and the wormhole of what a lot of people with disabilities had to go through during that time. But it's just sick, y'all. It was sick and not right. So we ain't gonna hold you up. I ain't gonna hold you up on how that went. It took the American Disabilities Act to come through and really support those efforts. But it's cool. You know, well, we're here now. I mean, we made a lot of progress. And I just want to highlight this last section, since we're talking about it here thoroughly for the past 15 minutes. The Bill of Rights altogether. There was a document that ratified it. Let me get it in my notes. The drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States was in 1787 and around 1788. The introduction of 1789 and the first federal Congress of the amendments that became the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights. They became law on December 15th, 1791. On the 150th anniversary of the historic date, December 15th, 1941. This program was broadcast to an established 63 million listeners. Almost half of the U.S. population. They laid out these rules, these amendments, and said, what has been going on hasn't been really supportive of all people. There are some things that are missed out. There are some things that in the Constitution that, you know, is just not fair. And if it's not fair, it's not constitutional. So here come the first one. Freedoms, petitions, and assembly. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or blocking the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Woo! That's a lot. That's heavy. You can't stop me from saying what I don't want to say about the government or how stuff been ran. You can't stop me from making a press conference about it. You can't stop me from getting a ledger put up, a petition signed, or just general assembly to address governmental grievances of how y'all done got me messed up. First Amendment said we got the right to do that. Second one, right to bear arms. I'm just going to hit the first top 10, maybe even less. 27 of them. I ain't gonna hold you. We're gonna go all the way through them. I'm just gonna get some of the top ones. So number two, amendment number two, the right to bear arms. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms, not your shoulder, but your arms, shall not be infringed upon. Meaning, I got my gun. In a case I'm in attack, or me and the militia, me and the gang, me and the clique, me and the squad, we feel threatened. You can't come down and press on me, man. You can't tread on me, man. So I know y'all see that with the Proud Boys. And it says the little snake and the rattler. I haven't broke down that whole little thing. But something sick. You know, snake in the Garden of Eden. And it was evil and it was the devil. That's what I get from it. But at the bottom of it, it says don't tread on me. Literally harping up that Second Amendment right. We all have that right. Now, I don't need that. So, I mean, y'all to go get no yellow tags with Proud Boys and support them. But that Second Amendment is strictly for that. A militia being being necessary for security of a free state. Because we freeze now under the Bill of Rights and allegedly under the Constitution. That brings us to Amendment number 3. Quartering of soldiers. Basically, you can't be hiding out in war times now unless it's done by your commander or something. They're going to be trying to come look for you. They're going to lock you up. They're going to dishonorably discharge you. No quartering of soldiers. We have Amendment 4 after that. Search and arrest. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath and affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. You gotta ask me first before you come search my stuff. I ain't passed the bar, but I know a little bit that you cannot come unlawfully and search my ish. Amendment number 4. Amendment number 5, rights in a criminal case. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be held against you in the court of law. You have the right to an attorney. If you don't have an attorney, the court will supply you with the worst attorney they can possibly find. Amendment number 5. Keep on rolling. Let's see, next page. Amendment number 6, right for a fair trial. Now, after we done locked you up in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed. Meaning, somebody in here gonna look like you, hopefully. Somebody in here gonna represent you, and you have a right to a speedy trial in that process. Young Thug ain't got a speedy trial right now. Free Thug down there in Atlanta with the RICO charge. Y'all know that it's been quite some time. That hasn't been quite speedy. But it's on paper as the 6th Amendment. The 7th Amendment. Rights in civil cases and suits as common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20. The right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the law than according to the rules of the common law. Then there's Amendment number 8. Bail, fines, and punishment. Excessive bail should not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Sounds great. Amendment 9, rights retained by the people. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And the 10th Amendment, states' rights. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Top 10. That's pretty much top 10. There's some more. They go to 11 through 27. Lawsuits against states, presidential elections, the 13th Amendment, abolition of slavery, y'all. There's a whole... And then civil rights right after that. Shout out Ava DuVernay, put a whole series together on those areas. Black suffrage, y'all. Crucial amendments came through there. We weren't in the Constitution at all. It took these amendments to get us in there. It took amendments in there to go to 16 with the income tax. You dig? Senatorial elections. Prohibition of liquor. Women's suffrage, terms of office. We need term limits now. Poe Mitch and a whole host of others up there just dying right in front of our eyes on TV. The 20th Amendment should have protected that, but it didn't. Repeal of prohibition, term limits for the presidency, you know, 4 years and double at 8, and it should be it. Thanks to that amendment, the 22nd. Washington, D.C. suffrage. Movements and things of that nature was on 23rd. 24th came through with the taking away poll taxes. That was just racist. So shout out to 24th. Presidential succession, which we've mentioned in previous statements and episodes, how that succession goes. President, vice president, house, so on and so forth. Amendment 26, 18-year-old suffrage. 18-year-olds, you know, you got to be 18 to come here and get a job and do certain things and have rights and things for it because, yeah, you got to be at least 18. If not, we ain't got 12-year-olds in a sweat, y'all, lodge, you know, doing like other countries were doing at the time. And 27th, congressional pay raises. They getting too many pay raises, but they said some of the stipulations in there that was getting We need to make it balanced and have it visible. 27th Amendment. All of these things, these Bill of Rights, self-evident. You know, we needed it to come and provide a safety net of resources so people weren't just getting overlooked. So rights and privileges were not getting infringed upon. So our people could understand that the government actually intentionally should work for all. Shout out the Bill of Rights and the later amendments. Go through those at your own leisure. I ain't got time to sit here and go through all 27 of them one by one, but just a little brief synopsis right there. So that handles part two of the branches of government. Again, we have dived into the executive, we have dived into the legislative, and just now the judicial branch. All of them are through for the moment. You know, we're gonna touch back on this a little bit later. But now it's time for a break. I think we're gonna come back with the Supreme Court after that. Stay tuned. I may switch it up, go to something else. The Supreme Court is heavy. They're supreme. It's a supremacy organization. Uh-oh. I ain't gonna say that. But we'll tap into that to the next episode. And like always, take care of yourself. Check on your people. And until next time, peace.